Another friend who, what they would look to is their family, their children. And why do family, when they want to be encouraged that things are going well? What do you look to feel good about your life? See, here in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians in Rome 2,000 years ago about salvation. But here in these words, he's talking, I think, about what we look to in those kind of moments. You'll notice verse 11, he uses the word boast. Now, the sense in the Greek word there, in English, boasting is just bragging. But the Greek word there for boast, it means much, much more than that. It's often translated rejoice or exult or glory. It's what you rejoice in. It is your boast is, it's what you look to look at and think, yes, life is great. Things are great for me. And here in these words, Paul is saying that for a Christian, there is a source of rejoicing and glory and exaltation that is utterly beyond anything else in your life and in my life. And it never runs out, and it's never unavailable, and it does not come from inside us or from what's around us. It comes from him who is beyond us. Look at verse 11 with me. It says, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received this reconciliation. If I could summarize everything that we're going to be saying in this sermon, it would be this. When you're looking for encouragement, it would be this. For every look within, take 10 looks at him. For every look within, take 10 looks at him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at 3 points this morning. Firstly, we're going to look at look back and see Jesus' love. Look up and know Jesus' salvation. And then finally, boast in him. But summarize it all in that one sentence. For every look within, take 10 looks at him. So point one then, look back and see his love. Look at verse six with me, sorry, rather than five. Look at verse six with me. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is a demonstration of how much your Maker loves you. You don't have to guess. You don't have to hope. No, you can look back at a concrete moment in history and know and see for sure how much God loves you. Now, just notice when God demonstrated his love for us. Look down at verse 6 with me again. Notice when it happened. You see, when was it? At just the right time, when we were still powerless. Well, look at it in verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were sinners. Verse 10 makes the same point. He says that it was while we were God's enemies. God demonstrates his love for us. Not in the moments where we're doing well and we're looking great and we're seeking God and we're being kind to others. No, God sees you and I when we are at our absolute worst. Look, I don't know for you. I don't know what do you consider to be the worst thing about yourself? I won't ask you to share it, don't worry. What do you consider to be the worst thing about yourself? The thing that when you think of it, your heart just sinks. See, the unique thing about God's love, he didn't just love us when we're at our best. He sees us at our absolute worst. And when he sees you there, what does he do for you? Look at verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see the logic there? I think this is, you see how much someone cares about you by what they would go through for you. Right? You see how much someone loves you by what they would go through for you. And what did God do for you? Well, Christ died on the cross. A friend of mine once gave an example of this from his life. He told me that when he was a child, he was helping his dad in the driveway, and his dad went up a ladder, and my friend's job was to stand at the bottom and hold the ladder while his dad was working on something on the roof. But my friend got distracted and wandered away by something in the garden, by the driveway, and he heard a noise and looked up, and the ladder was tottering and beginning to fall backwards. And he said there was a split second moment where his dad looked down. His dad could have saved himself, could have jumped off the ladder, but the only place he could have landed would have been on top of my friend and would have crushed him. And he said in that moment that he saw his dad turn back, grip onto the ladder, and just fall backwards onto his back. And he was paralyzed. Just temporarily, but he was paralyzed. And my friend says, when I saw what my dad would go through for me, I saw how much he loved me. Now, look at this. Give the Lord Jesus Christ, beaten, mocked, scorned, murdered, facing God's anger at everything you and I have ever done wrong, so that we never have to. When you see what Jesus Christ would go through for you, you see how much he loves you. And he did that for you and I, not when we're at our best, but knowing that which is worst about us. Do you see his love for you in that? You see, my friend said, look, if I ever doubted how much my dad loved me, I could look back at that moment. I could look back at what he did on that ladder, and I know that my dad loves me. You see, for a Christian here, looking for encouragement, you can look back at the cross and know, not guess, know that you are loved beyond anything else in this world. See, our temptation, I think, sometimes is to measure God's love by our circumstances. When it's going well, I feel good. When it's going badly, I'm not so sure about God's love. If you want to experience God's love, don't look at your feelings or your circumstances. Those go up and down, up and down. Jesus says you can look back at the cross and know that God loves you. If you're looking for encouragement, if you're looking to experience love, for every look within, take 10 looks at him. Look back and see God's love for you on the cross. That's the first thing Paul wants to say to us. Next thing, I think he wants us to look up and know God's salvation. Have a look down with me at verse 9 and 10. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Notice the future tense there. Do you see a verse in verse 9 that says, how much more shall we, future tense, be saved? Same in verse 10. How much more shall we, future tense? You see, being saved for a Christian, it's not just a past thing, a thing that happened in the past. For a Christian, being saved is also something that we look forward to. Now, of course, we do look back. So imagine we're here, okay? This is you and I. We do look back at the cross, and we can see the moment that our sin was paid for on the cross. So in a sense in which we do look back, we also look forward to the moment where either we die or Jesus Christ returns, and we are brought out of all harm for all eternity. All the things in this world that hurt, that make life difficult, all the things about the future that you might be afraid of, we look forward to the moment where Christ comes and saves us from all that would harm us in the future. And as a Christian, I can look forward and know that that is coming with complete confidence. Why? Well, here's the thing I really want you to see in these words. I really want you to see the logic here, okay? Look down at verse 10 with me again. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Look, if Jesus did this for me when I was God's enemy, what's he going to do for us now if we're God's friends? Right, if his death achieved that great salvation, now what is his life going to achieve for us now? You see, these words, they don't want you and I to see Jesus Christ as dead on the cross still. He did die on the cross, but that was for a short period. Now, where is Christ? Well, he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. Bible says that he is enthroned in glory above every power and dominion that exists. And do you see the logic here? If at his weakest moment, dying on the cross, he redeemed us, how much more now that he is clothed with power, head over all things, Lord of angels, King of kings, all heaven resounding with his praises, how much more are we going to be saved in the future through his life? He's living now. Will he take us from all harm one day? Now look, if you and I here can trust a dying Saviour and feel completely safe in doing so, how much more can we trust a living Saviour, entrust ourselves, enfold ourselves in his love, and feel eternally secure? For every look within, take 10 looks at him. Look up and see Christ in his risen life. And know that your salvation is coming. You can know that all our fears of being overcome, they can vanish. Any fears that you might have for the future, whatever might come in this life, one day, either when we die or Christ returns, we will be brought out of all harm. And I can know that because my Savior lives. So we look back and see his love. We look up and know his salvation is coming. And then what do we do with all this thirdly? Well, verse 11, we boast in him. Look at verse 11 with me again. Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received this reconciliation. Again, that word boast there, it doesn't just mean bragging. It means joy, rejoice, exult, glory. The thing that you look to in your life and think, yes, things are great for me. Paul is saying here that if we do that with God, like God is something so much greater to rejoice in than the details of my little life. He has achieved and will achieve far more than I ever could. This boast, right, this isn't an elevated boast. God is the boast of the angels. God is the boast of all eternity, the boast of heaven. And you and I get to share that boast, that joy, that rejoicing here in this world now. Of course, there are other joys in life, but this has got to be the happiest joy of them all, hasn't it? And as well as that, it's an elevating joy. Like other joys or boasts, they might feel good, but they also sort of drag us down. Look, for example, if you glory in your achievements in this life, yes, that will feel good, but you will become more self-centered. If I glory in my money or my possessions or my comfort, again, I might feel good, but I will become more greedy. If I glory in my appearance, in my case, that's getting more and more difficult to do. but I will you become more vain. But if you glory in God, what do you become? You become more godlike. It transforms you into a person of love for him and others. It's an elevating joy, a joy that lifts you to be the person you were made to be, not focused on yourself, but focused on God and other people. And it's an abiding joy. If you find your boast in something here in this life that can be lost, well, your life is going to be a whole series of worry. Again, if you boast in your looks, well, you worry that they're going to fade. If you boast in your money, you will worry that it will be taken from you. If you boast in your achievements, you will always worry that they're not enough or they're not respected enough. But if you rejoice in the one who never fails and never changes but lasts forever, that is a lasting joy. That is a sure foundation. So what do you boast in? What do you look to for your joy, for your, yes, life is good, I'm okay? What do you look to for your encouragement? What will you remind yourself of? For every look within, take 10 looks at him. Look back and see his love. Look up and know his salvation is coming, and boast in him. Let me pray. Oh, great God and Father, thank you that you know just how much the things of this world and this life clutter our hearts and minds. We thank you, Lord, that you lift us beyond the here and now to boast in what truly lasts and what is truly eternal, in you, your salvation, your love, your glory. And Father, we pray as we head out of here and into this week, we pray that your love might transform our hearts to boast in you and not the things of this world, to exalt, to glory, to reach for you and not the little details of our lives. We pray that as we do that, you might shape us into people of joy and love that sing your praises because of who you are and what you've done. We ask in your name and for your glory. Amen.